Thank you for getting us into the first day of the week here as we talk to you about Relief Factor. Now, Relief Factor is 100% drug-free, as you may know. It's created by doctors, as you may know. And it has helped Glenn actually get through the day, which you may know as well. But all of those are incredibly important.
Yeah, it has helped me get through the day every day. I take it three times a day. 70% of the people who try this find great relief, and they order more month after month, just like I do. If you want your life back, Relief Factor is the best way to go. Relief Factor helps reduce the inflammation that our body, what happens to our body when we're fighting pain and fighting injuries. And that is one of the best, the biggest sources of our pain is that inflammation. We have to reduce the inflammation. That's what Relief Factor specializes at. Try it, please. ReliefFactor.com. You have nothing to lose and everything to gain, including your life back, the life you want to live. Try ReliefFactor.com, 800-583-84, ReliefFactor.com.
Of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Welcome to Monday, another crazy day in the American Empire. Over the weekend in California, the story is read this way. An intense political debate broke out at a candlelight vigil on Sunday for the dead and wounded of the Congregation Shabbat Synagogue in San Diego. Mourners argued whether it was a lack of gun control or the lack of political self-control that led to this terrorist attack. So there's two options. Either Trump did it or the gun did it. We're going to speak the truth, and we begin in 1 minute.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Hey, you want to get mom something really, really unique? This is something that Tanya and I did recently, and we both loved it. I mean, the whole family got involved in this. We couldn't wait for the results to come back in, and when they did, we spent two nights just going over them. It was really cool. For Mother's Day, for a limited time only, 23andMe is taking $30 off their health and ancestry kit until May 13th. We did this. We sent our test in, and it was really remarkable how cool the kids thought it was and how cool we thought it was as well. It's a totally unique Mother's Day gift. With 23andMe's Health and Ancestry Kit, she can discover how her genes may influence her health with over 125 personal genetic reports that feature information on her traits and her health, like genetic weight, caffeine consumption, sleep movement, etc., etc. It's a completely unique gift. Not only takes care of mom's health, but also begins an adventure into your family history. Do it now. It's the offer ends May 13th. You'll save $30 at 23andMe. 23andMe.com/Beck. That's 23andMe.com/Beck. Remember, this Mother's Day special ends May 13th. An intense political debate broke out at a candlelight vigil on Sunday for the dead and wounded at the synagogue, where mourners argued whether it was a lack of gun control or a lack of political self-control that led to this terrorist attack. A 19-year-old nursing student who penned a virulently racist manifesto is accused of opening fire on the congregation the day before, killing a congregant who died when she stepped between the gunman and the rabbi, effectively taking a bullet for her spiritual leader. Authorities say they're investigating this as a hate crime. Hundreds gathered in Vale Verde Park, less than a mile from the attack, including Janeth Seidel, who came to the vigil to pay her respects and to question the absurdity of this senseless act. I knew Lori. That's the woman who stepped between the rabbi. Everybody knew her. She was just such a big volunteer. And if you were ever involved, if you ever came to the shul, you knew Lori. Seidel, who's not at the synagogue when Ernst opened fire, questioned yet why again anyone was allowed access to semi-automatic weapons. We need to license every gun like a car. Well, we do. I don't know if you know that, but we do. If you want to carry one around, you have to have a license. Now, you can go out and buy a car without a license. You just can't use a car without a license. The same is true with guns, except we do a background check if you want to buy a gun. You don't have to have a background check if you have a car. So we go an extra step beyond the car. Dorina Fagan said, "Thank God we had a Jew with a gun," referring to the off-duty border agent who is credited with helping chase the gunmen away. Thank God for a Jew with a gun. This guy happened to have recently discovered his Jewish roots and happened to be there. So it wasn't the rest of the media is reporting this as, look, he was an off-duty border agent. No, he was a congregant with a gun. How many people would have died if this guy didn't have a gun and wasn't at synagogue? This wasn't some just, you know, bystander who was walking by. Here's a guy who was at the synagogue, saw the problem, had a gun, knew how to use it, and used it. If we wouldn't have had a guy in California who happened to be there, how many people would have died? Now they started to argue about whether this was Trump, whether this was guns. No, this was a sick individual. And I believe a sick individual that is being ramped up. People are being ramped up right now. And I believe on all sides, we can take our own responsibility for our own. But let's talk about the responsibility of the left on this. Because they always say that they blame it on us. Well, who was this white supremacist? Who was he? Was he a Trump supporter? Doesn't look like that. Was he a Jewish supporter? Doesn't look like that. So who was he? And let me ask the New York Times. The New York Times ran a picture internationally, a political cartoon last Thursday. It's one of the most obscene cartoons I have seen. It is straight out of a Nazi propaganda room. It's of Donald Trump wearing dark sunglasses as if he's blind. And the sight dog is a wiener dog with the face of Benjamin Netanyahu, and his tag is the Star of David. So it is showing that the Jews and Israel are leading the blind president. So what is that saying? That's saying that Israel is controlling our government. That's what that's saying. Now, I've heard that before. I've heard that when they were talking about AIPAC, that's the Jewish coalition. That's the Israeli coalition controlling our government. Who said that? Ilhan Omar has said that. AOC has echoed that. The New York Times puts a photo out, a cartoon out last Thursday. And what does the gunman say? The gunman says that the Jews and Israel are controlling our government. Now, that's interesting, isn't it? Did you see anybody in the newspaper talk about that? Did you see anyone on cable news talk about that? Not in mainstream media. They're, of course, they're not going to say, well, wait a minute. isn't this the exact point that Ilhan Omar was making just recently about AIPAC? Hasn't this been the dialogue that the Jews are controlling the United States government? Isn't that exactly what that political cartoon was saying? Yes. So wait a minute. It's the gun, because the gun was just minding its own business, sitting in a safe or sitting on a shelf. It was just minding its own business. I don't know if you know this, but most guns don't have an opinion about Israel one way or another. Even the Uzi doesn't have an opinion on Israel one way or another. So it's just minding its own business. Now, this white supremacist, he decides to pick that gun up. And he's doing it for the exact reason that the New York Times and Ilhan Omar have been called out recently. I wonder if there's any incitement there. I wonder if you could make a case of incitement. Because I know if it was reversed, if the guy quoted me, even if he wasn't actually a fan of mine, listened to me, knew that I had said that, that's exactly what would have happened. Anti-Semitism is a socialist disease. It always shows up. Socialism and anti-Semitism are different sides of the exact same coin. And the New York Times, you know, a lot of people are saying because they, quote, apologized. They didn't apologize. They said that it was some editor that, you know, didn't have proper supervision. Proper supervision? You didn't recognize that as something that could have been done by Goebbels? You didn't recognize how anti-Semitic that was? Boy, you got a problem from the top down if you've hired somebody who's that clueless to be your editor. He needs supervision to go, that one looks like Goebbels. I wouldn't think so. But the New York Times has this history. Out of the 23,000 front page stories between 1939 and 1945, 11,300 of them were about World War II. Out of the 11,300 front page stories in the New York Times between 1939 and 1945, only 26 of those mentioned the Holocaust. 26 stories. That's it. To cover the Holocaust, the armbands, the rounding up, the interrogations, the gas chambers, the camps, the ghettos. Only 26 in the New York Times. When they finally shipped out the last of the Warsaw ghettos and cleaned them out, and no one was left, the article headline was "Warsaw Fears Extermination." That's after they cleaned out the ghetto. And by the way, it was a small story on page 7 next to an advertisement for new pianos. The New York Times said it was a bad judgment call. You know, it's interesting how the New York Times seems to have many bad judgment calls, and usually when it revolves around anti-Semitism. Look, you wouldn't send a postcard for your tax return, you know, to the IRS. You're not going to do that. All my personal information on the back of a postcard. Why? Because somebody could read it. Well, that's exactly what you're doing with public Wi-Fi, even if it's password protected. That is exactly what you're doing. You're just writing all your public or all your private information right in public and sending it out on the internet like a postcard. This is exposing you to identity theft. That's why there is Norton Secure VPN. It's a virtual private network that encrypts all of your connections, even on public Wi-Fi. So the information that you send and you receive is safe from cyber criminals who want to steal your private information. Companies that are tracking your browsing activities, your app usage, your location, all of that is gone if you use a Norton Secure VPN. It's easy to use. You install it, you log in once, and it runs seamlessly in the background. Norton is the leader in consumer cybersecurity. So get the Norton Secure VPN ASAP and enjoy the convenience of the connected world without the worries about online privacy or security. It is starting at $3.33 a month if you sign up for the year with annual subscription. It is Norton.com/VPN. Norton.com/VPN. 10 seconds, station ID. I spent the weekend trying to work on this special that we have that is coming up on Wednesday. I think this is the most important special that we have done maybe since we've been at Fox. Would you agree with that, Stu?
Yeah, I mean, especially the way we're moving right now and how fast it's happening. We need to know, you know, where they're attacking and how to protect.
So there is there's something that we found. Jason Batrill is with us. Jason is our head researcher. And if you will, Jason, tell us what you found in research. We're working on a book about socialism, and we're all constantly looking for the influences outside. Tell us about the blueprint you found.
So, and that's exactly what we found. We found a blueprint for how to take over do it legally within the range of their own system, within the range of their own constitution, Congress, everything, take over a country. And we saw how socialists and communists did this back in the late 1940s. And literally found this completely by accident. And this document that you'll reveal later this week, I broke it down by the different steps. There was about five different steps that they needed to pull off. Like do this, check, do this, check, do this, check. And by the end of it, they would have completely flipped a country from capitalist, democracy to full on socialism to communism. And as I was looking at those steps, I was like, let's just see what's going on today. So I started filling in step number one. Okay, that's happening here. Step number two. Okay, I started getting a little nervous. Step number three. Then I started getting freaked out. That's when I sent it to you, and I was like, oh, my gosh.
And what's frightening is this blueprint is how to flip a major free market republic to communist or socialist within 3 years. Now, we're going to build this case so you know, because everyone feels it. Everyone feels, and it's funny, because back in 2006 or 7, I played a clip from Condoleezza Rice, and she was talking about what we were seeing in the news. And she said, these are the birth pangs of the things to come. And I remember saying, well, wait a minute, that's A, very, very scriptural. B, that implies that they're going to get stronger and faster. Things are going to start happening one right after another. And the faster they get, the closer they get, the closer we are to giving birth to something. And none of us even will recognize that we're pregnant. But we are. And we're about to give birth to something. And I don't think you want to see what we're giving birth to. And so your gut is telling you something is happening, something's wrong, and it's happening faster and faster and getting crazier and crazier. That's what this blueprint describes and shows how it's done. And it's all being done to us right now.
Everything makes sense when you look at it through this lens. It's like a light will pop off. Like you're like, wait, why are we arguing over 99 different genders? Like, what sense does that make? Like, why is that? Why this whole Me Too thing, this radical militant feminist thing, postmodernism, like this, none of that stuff makes sense if you look at it, you know, just individually, like out, you know, outside the entire grand scheme. But that is, and I'll just kind of give that away, one of the steps. Like, mm-hmm. that is one of the, I won't say which step, but that is one of the steps on this thing. Check that off. It was done before. The exact same thing has been done before, and a country was flipped to socialism, and then what immediately follows after that? Communism and a dictatorship.
It is truly remarkable. Now, we're making this special for free. We're putting it on all platforms. It will not be on TV. It will be commercial free, and we don't even know how long it's going to run. I mean, it's... It's going to be maybe 90 minutes, but we don't want to rush through this because it's really important. So we want everyone to be able to watch it. It'll be on YouTube. It will be on Facebook. It will be on blazetv.com. We really could use your subscription because we are hiring more people and we are trying to do more research like this. You know, when I was at Fox, I was spending $1 million a year of my own money to provide the research for that show, plus all of the research that, you know, was provided for Fox. I lost money. I'm the only person that ever has been on television and lost money. We need your help to be able to do the kind of research that needs to be done, and we get that help by you subscribing to blazetv.com. And if you subscribe... For this special event, there will be I want to say $30? $20?
$20.
$20. $20 savings. You just have to use the promo code GLENN.
I believe there's a special promo code that will run during the special.
During the special, and that's when you can sign up for it.
Obviously, I wouldn't expect you to be aware of that or any of the details surrounding it. But I believe what happens is they give you a special promo code during the special. If you watch it and it's information and the type of programming and research that you think is like valuable, especially when you have a field of 20 Democratic candidates, 15 of which are outwardly running with policies that are essentially socialist. The other ones are just kind of close to it. You have all these new people in Congress that are doing this. You know, this is more important than ever, I think, because the threat is real. I mean, I think for most of the time we've done the show, Glenn, it's been more like, communism. It's more of a joke. And there's parts of it that you have to take seriously.
And it wasn't as close as it is. It wasn't.
That's what I mean. Yeah. It's never been a joke as far as, I mean, ask 100 million dead people whether it was a joke or not.
Yeah.
But I mean, as far as whether it could actually happen here. Well, I mean, Bernie Sanders is leading polls in states. Like, this is a socialist president. We're that close.
So we'll show you what it takes to win and what's already been done. Socialism, a warning from the dead. A Blaze TV special, Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern.
To Glenn Beck.
I want to tell you a little bit about 1-800-Flowers. Mother's Day is coming up. And 1-800-Flowers has the flowers that I think... mom will really, really like. At 1-800-Flowers, right now, you can get ahead of the Mother's Day rush with 30 for 30, 30 assorted tulips for just $30 right now. Bright, beautiful mix of orange, yellow, and pink blossoms. They're all assorted tulips, and they're guaranteed to make mom smile. Right now, 30 tulips for $30. This special ends on Wednesday, so do your ordering right now for Mother's Day. 1-800-Flowers, 1-800-Flowers.com. When you get there, click on the radio icon and enter the promo code BECK. That's 1-800-Flowers.com with the code BECK. You order today and save. 1-800-Flowers.com, code BECK. The offer does expire on Wednesday. 1-800-Flowers.com, code BECK. Mother's Day's right around the corner.
All right, blazetv.com/Glenn. If you go to blazetv.com, this is where we're going to get the special this week. It's Wednesday. Tell everybody about it. Share it on social. blazetv.com/Glenn.
No, it's not. No, it's not. I won't hear it from you. I won't hear it from you. You are a hater.
It's a
a scam. Nail it.
Welcome to the Glenn Beck Program. Mr. Pat Gray joins us now from Pat Gray Unleashed.
Indeed, I do.
How are you doing, Mr.
I'm,
Pat Gray?
I'm pretty good. You?
Good. Oh, I'm great.
I'm not doing as good as the producers of Avengers Endgame.
Yeah.
But I'm doing okay.
Yeah, not doing as well as anybody who holds Disney stock is doing right now.
The previous record in North America for an opening weekend was $257
million. And $257
million,
and which movie was that?
That was Avengers Infinity War.
Aha.
Now comes Avengers Endgame, what, a year later? And it obliterates that record by almost $100 million. It made $350 million over the weekend.
Can I tell you something? I cannot see it until Friday.
Why?
Because I couldn't get a ticket at any time, any theater
wow.
this weekend here.
That's crazy.
I've never seen that before.
And they have a record number of theaters in which it's showing, too.
Yeah.
Like 4,600. But it's a three-hour movie, so they needed that if they're going to make these kind of numbers, and they did. Now, worldwide, it made $1.2 billion already.
In opening weekend. Now,
that's
just think
amazing.
Of that. Just think of that. How many people did not get a ticket to opening weekend? It's not like you've, okay, well, everybody went opening weekend. Mm-hmm. There's a ton of us that haven't seen it yet that really want to see it still.
You had to be really a planner to get a decent seat.
There were some like single seats. There were front row tickets and some shows.
I could have gotten front row seat, but nobody wants to sit in the front row.
No.
I mean, unless you're eight.
And this, someone said to me the other day, why don't they just, I don't even understand this. Why don't they just remove the front row? No one wants to sit there. There would always be a front row, guys. This is a stunning development. It's like the people are like,
there's no front row. There's also no seats in the theater.
It's like the people keep saying, the middle class is shrinking. There's always a middle class. It's in the middle of whatever you have. It's in the middle. The front row is always the front row, no matter if you put it in the back of the theater or not.
So we got that going for us.
So what's cool, though, is the spillover, you know, because a lot of people went and it was sold out, and so they had to go to something else. And Captain Marvel was the one that benefited the most. It went from fourth to second.
Horrible.
And that's really
horrible.
Bad.
Horrible.
Yeah, I didn't like it either.
Horrible.
Did not like it.
Yeah, just made me just, I mean, oof. It didn't know what it was.
Right.
It was just horrible.
Right.
Horrible.
But you know what my wife and I did see this weekend? Have you seen Breakthrough yet? You saw it, right?
No, I haven't
seen it yet.
No.
It is really good. Like Unplanned, it's really good. I think the Christian movie makers are finally hitting their stride. You know, they've finally decided that every non-Christian is not a demon, and every Christian is not necessarily a saint.
A saint. And it really helps the fact that actors and actresses who can act have decided that they agree with that analysis, at least at some level.
Right.
I mean, what Christy, that's the one with Christy Mass is in it. I saw it, too.
You like
from
it?
This is Us.
Good. Yeah, This Is Us.
She's really good in it.
Really good. What's his face? Topher Grace, who's been in a bunch of stuff, you know, including one of the, you know, Spider-Mans, and, you know, he was in, you know, he's been in a million things, but like he's like good and he can act.
Mm-hmm.
And they, you know, they actually have a kid actor. And I thought this was the real miracle of the film. Sure, a kid survives from being underwater for like an hour. He's an hour before he actually gets a heartbeat, and he's underwater for 15 minutes or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
40, was it 45
minutes?
That
was 45
minutes.
He was underwater for 20. He didn't have a heartbeat for 45.
It's insane.
45 minutes. It's amazing.
And so the real miracle of this film is not only did they find a child actor who could actually play that part well, but one who plays basketball, and it looks like he's played basketball before.
Yeah.
This never occurs in movies. They put these actors in there, and it looks like they've never even seen a basketball before. You're supposed to believe they're these star players. Whoever the kid was that played was, like, really good. I mean, he looks like a solid player.
They use baseball players that throw like Barack Obama.
Yes.
And you're like, okay,
come on.
Please.
And we learned that I throw better than Barack Obama.
And you shoot and you play basketball better than Barack Obama, which we tested in a scientifically controlled experiment on this very set.
We did.
We proved it. So that was, I thought, amazing. And the movie overall is really good. Like, they did a good job with it.
So you liked it, too?
Yeah. It's an incredible story. I mean, it does not seem possible. It's one of those...
It's a jaw-dropping story.
Yeah.
It's never happened before. And, you know, it hasn't happened since. So it's a pretty compelling story.
Did that go up in the money this... this weekend as well?
It did. I think it was 4th, 5th, 6th.
I can look it up here.
Are there still places where you don't reserve seats for movies?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. There's some even, you know, all over the place. I think it's the reverse here in Texas. If you happen to be listening to this, for example, in New York City, where, you know, it's
they're still
the theater situation
kind.
Is terrible yeah. compared to here.
Really?
Oh, God, it's awful. I mean, it was awful when we were there, if you remember, Glenn.
No, it was awful because you were sitting around New Yorkers.
Yeah, well, that's still happening, first of all.
Right.
That's no, the biggest thing.
But also, no, they don't even have the reclining seats.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's the space.
I mean, that's how we've become theater snobs now.
We have. Texas.
If it doesn't have a reclining seat, I'm not going.
Yeah, no, I haven't been to what's the one in, you know, Southlake by our house mm-hmm. that doesn't have, it's old school. Great theater. Really yeah. great theater.
I used to think it was.
Yeah. But then now in Texas, I don't know what it's like in the rest of the country, but in Texas, man, it's like 5-star dining at your seat. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is fantastic.
Everybody has a Lazy Boy.
Yeah.
It's like nice. My favorite thing to do is to go to the theater, and when it's a dine-in theater like that with a nice big chairs and you sit down and you get to watch a great movie, even if it's a crappy movie, but with good food.
I could live there. If I could just go into the kitchen and just open up the fridge once in a while and be like, what else we got in here? Yeah, I would live there. I would live there.
Well, why would you? See, that's the thing. You don't even have to do that there. They bring the food to you.
I know.
In the
occasionally,
the movie.
You want to get up. That's if you true. Were living there, you'd occasionally want
to
get up.
I think they just need to install, you know, some sort of apparatus where you can go to the bathroom. Then you never have to worry about this at all.
Right.
By the way, Breakthrough finished with $6.3 million more dollars this weekend. $26 million so far in just 2 weekends for a Christian movie. That's a
pretty
darn good number.
That's huge.
I wish Unplanned had made more. I mean, it still was successful because it cost $6 million to make and it's made $17 million so far.
Yeah, very successful.
That should be $170 million.
But
that's,
you know what? It's
a
like,
good movie.
It's like, and maybe this is just me, it's like Breakthrough. I want to see Breakthrough. I really do. I want to see Breakthrough.
Yeah.
But every time my wife says, let's go see Breakthrough.
Nah, I don't want to see Breakthrough.
I know. I'm like, we'll bring the kids yes. to that one. I don't want to go see that one.
I will say it was a movie.
It's good, though. It's something you should look forward to going to. But
I know. It's not uplifting. I know. I'm just right. not.
Well, first of all,
you know what I mean?
Yes, yeah. I do.
Yeah. So
I do.
I'm not alone in that, right?
No. No. It's a very uplifting movie, of course. Mm-hmm. We all know.
And
we,
you
we
want interviewed that. The kid I want
who,
that.
We interviewed the kid who it happened to.
Yeah.
So we know that he lived. This is not a spoiler alert.
Right.
It would be a really weird movie if he just died. He went underwater and it was just over.
But they tried for 2.5 hours to resuscitate him.
Yeah,
didn't work.
And they couldn't.
Didn't work out. So,
it just didn't work.
There's some sadness surrounding the situation. But the it is a tearjerker, right? Like you're going through. I mean, it is really.
It's a roller coaster ride.
It is. I mean, so there's a moment where it's a Friday night. You're going out. You're having a nice dinner. It's a night on the town. Maybe Breakthrough doesn't feel like the right movie. We wound up seeing it I think it was a Thursday. And it was like a relatively early showing. And so it was. It was much easier to. I can understand mm-hmm. how most people would be. Oh, I don't know. It's maybe a better matinee, but the movie's really good, and it's going to make a lot of money. It's going to be profitable by a wide margin, uh-huh. and that's a good thing. Like these movies, you know, there was that attempt a while ago with the Noahs of the world, where they tried to the big budget sort of approach and just like let's throw a couple $100 million at one of these Bible movies and see how it works out. From people who didn't really connect with real Christian audiences.
Uh-huh. No. And it was like, but we'll add some really neat things like monsters to the story.
Which is great.
Well, wait.
Is great. These are more organic, right? These are real movies. They're with real faith backgrounds,
real
but people who understand faith. And these are movies that are just well done because the stories are incredible. And they're mm-hmm. doing really well. I mean, it's starting to get better.
All right. So can we go back to the Avengers for a second?
Sure.
I don't want to spoil because I haven't seen it yet and I wouldn't want to spoil it for anybody. But I hear people are like really upset. Like Jason was telling me that his daughter cried all weekend because of who was lost.
What? Really?
Yeah.
Seems like it.
I have heard that my kids told me some of their friends went and they were very upset. They were, you know, it was like really sad. Because they don't realize that there's no way those characters are going away forever. There's way too much money left on the table.
And guess what? There's no way those characters are going away forever.
They've already
there's
been signed for extra movies in many cases.
True? Yeah,
they're right. not going away.
So here's the thing. It's not that they're not going away. This is the end of a saga. So this is the end of this storyline.
Right, but
they come back. Now, some of them are not coming back as the same actors.
Okay, so
this is the way they reset the actors, yeah.
which again is
I didn't know that.
So there's something here, but I think there is a sign of potential emotional instability if you're crying all weekend.
Well,
over,
you know,
over a bunch of
try this one. A man was left bloody outside of a cinema after watching Avengers Endgame. Do you see this? Beat him almost to death because he walked outside and said, "Wow, you know who dies?" And the crowd got so upset.
You! Then they pounced on him and almost killed him.
I remember crazy. There was a video of someone who walked down the line at Harry Potter, at one of the Harry Potter big things, and was like, "Guess who dies? This guy dies." Now, of course, I don't know any of the characters in Harry Potter, so I can't tell you which one it was. But they got pissed, and it became like kind of a viral video, and people thought it was funny. But it's like, that's not
funny.
It's just not, cool. Like, the whole point of going to see these things is so you have these moments of the reveal and everything. Right. It's just, that's just irritating.
So my sister calls me last night around 6 o'clock, and she's so upset. She's crying, and she starts with, "I was at the theater," and I'm like, "My sister is not calling me to console her because her favorite character died, is she?"
Okay.
And she was just really upset. She was we were at the theater, and we were at the Avengers, and at the very end, a guy who was sitting just like right in front of us stood up and grabbed his backpack and started screaming, "You're all worshiping false gods." And she said the entire place panicked. And they all ran for the exits. She said people were trampling people. She said, "I was separated from my son. I couldn't find him. Everybody's screaming. Everybody's crying." She said it was it's like when you see the school shootings. She said,
so they thought he was going to start shooting people.
Well, apparently somebody stopped him and he had a gun, but somebody had stopped him before he could do anything. Police got there. They closed everything down. But she was, I mean, she was right there.
You got a theater full of people and somebody just grabs their backpack. You don't have a couple of men in that theater that can take that guy down. And maybe they did eventually.
Yeah,
rather
somebody
than head for the exit, take the guy down.
Somebody in the theater apparently did.
That's good.
Yeah. But she said I didn't know who we even were. She said after it happened, she said, I looked back on it. And she said, everybody they didn't care. They just trampled and pushed children and it was horrible. She said it was the worst thing she's ever gone through.
That's incredible.
Amazing. Yeah,
and what? So,
amazing.
Is the media covering this at all? Like, have they picked up on the story?
No, I saw it in the local newspaper, and it just said an incident, man arrested, and the theater is closed until further notice.
Wow. So, I mean, they took it pretty. I mean, pretty seriously.
Oh yeah.
And he actually did have a loaded gun.
That's what she said. I could not find that in the newspaper. That's what she said.
Was that an office joke?
Said
that's
that
what
later.
She said? That you're actually doing one of the off jokes from Michael Scott on The Office in that moment? That's just disgraceful.
Anyway,
it's inappropriate.
We have Stu's power ranking and our Game of Thrones review. If you're a fan of Game of Thrones and the Avengers, it was a tough weekend for you. Because you lost a lot of people that you were like, "Oh, my heroes are dying." We have that coming up. Pat, thank you so much. My Patriot Supply. When an emergency strikes, what is your first impulse? May I tell you that?
Run for the doors, trample some children.
Exactly right. Mm-hmm. Can I tell you, I think after the special on Wednesday, I think people are going to get serious about, in our audience, they're going to get serious about food storage again. Because this is what we're going to reveal on Wednesday's special, and it's free, by the way. You can watch it on Blaze TV, .com. You watch it on our Facebook page, on our YouTube page. It's 8 o'clock Eastern. What it shows is how close we are to collapse, and the blueprint that may be being used. I know that we don't follow all these crazy things, as conservatives, but communists do, socialists do, and they know about this document. We just found it. It was smuggled into the United States in the 60s, and it is terrifying on how far down the road we really are. Don't run into a grocery store. Don't panic. Don't worry. Just be prepared. Whether it's an earthquake, hurricane, long-term power outage, whatever it is, man-made, God, or an act of God, You can be prepared with a two-week emergency food kit. You order now at a special price. You'll save $62 when you go to preparewithglenn.com. Food kit includes breakfast, lunch, and dinner that last up to 25 years. So when it's breaking news, it's too late to prepare. Do it now so there's no surprises in your life. My Patriot Supply is behind this, and they would love for you to get this special deal this week. Preparewithglenn.com. That's preparewithglenn.com.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Welcome to the program, Game of Thrones. I'm just going over what cannot be said, so there's no spoilers on Stu's review of Game of Thrones. I thought it was great last night. Now, did you enjoy it at all, being not knowing who it was? I thought it was one of the most incredible battle scenes I've ever seen.
Definitely some really cool imagery and some incredible scenes as far as a battle goes.
You ever seen a battle like that?
There's one that kind of reminded me of, which I can, you know, we can talk about here in a little bit. But overall, I mean, especially on a television show, I mean, I can't even imagine what this show costs to make. Do you know the budget of this thing?
I have no idea. We should look that up. I have no idea.
I mean,
just that battle scene alone, though, was incredible.
It really is.
Just incredible. And when I heard that it was the longest battle scene ever, because, you know, I watched it with the Two Towers. I think it was in the Two Towers, wasn't it? The Battle of Helm's Deep, and I got bored with that after a while. I'm like, okay, I got it. This one was different. It was like a 45-minute battle, but the way they broke it up was really good.
I think the longest battle in history actually is Anchorman 2.
No.
I got bored of that too.
I don't think so.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.
Let me tell you about Home Title Lock. Home Title Lock is the thing that you really need for your home. If you own a home, you have a title. No one is watching over that title. There's only one company that stands at the gate, literally at the gate of this digital vault where all the titles of the U.S. go in and out. So everything is kept. 90% of the titles are all kept in this one vault. If your title goes in and out and you have Home Title Lock, they verify that you are the one actually selling the home or transferring the title. This is one of the fastest growing crimes. You lose your house, you lose everything. It is really bad. And only one company is at the place to where they can actually verify that title. Get a $100 search for free when you sign up right now at HomeTitleLock.com. That's HomeTitleLock.com. Do it now. Sign up and make sure that nobody steals your house.
Of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Well, the Avengers had a huge weekend. Game of Thrones had a huge weekend. And so did white guys in the Democratic Party. The media is obsessed with the number of white guys that are running and are leading in the polls. My gosh, are all Democrats racist? Why are they all going for these white guys? There's really only one answer, and that's racism. And Stu has his power ranking of the Democratic nominees in 1 minute.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Another white guy.
Shocking, shocking. So it's Mother's Day coming up pretty soon. Got to get ready. I know my mom uses Genucel. She loves it. Genucel jawline treatment is one of the new products we're talking about here, which is, it is from now till Mother's Day. They have the outrageous Mother's Day sale going on. You're talking about if you happen to have an issue with the double chins or sagging jawlines or turkey necks, any of these things. Genucel jawline treatment formulated with MDL technology
is here for you. And it's just great skincare too. It makes you look great, improves your appearance, makes you feel better, and helps the health of your skin. My mom uses GenuCell products, loves them. She uses them every day. She loves the results she's seeing. Robin S. from Lubbock, Texas wrote, I put that jawline cream on my neck 2 or 3 days ago. This is the best my neck has looked in over 20 years. Several people told me my face looks young. I am blown away. For only one more week, GenuCell jawline treatment is yours absolutely free when you order the classic GenuCell for eye bags and puffiness. And with instant effects, you can see results in the first 12 hours, guaranteed, or your money back. So what do you have to lose? It's guaranteed or your money back. Try it. See if it works for you. GenuCell.com is the place to go. GenuCell.com. Great Mother's Day gift, or just, you know, for you. 800-577-8709. Plus, get a surprise Mother's Day premium gift with all orders. This is smart. You can always order this stuff for yourself. Get the premium gift, and then just give that to your mom as the Mother's Day gift, and you're out. I mean, you get the thing for you, and you give that up. It's perfect. 800-577-8709. 800-577-8709. Or visit GenuCell.com. It's GenuCell.com.
Bernie Sanders, Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, Pete Buttigieg, Amy Klobuchar. Well, who's leading the pack? White guys. Mm. And the left is very upset. And they should. They obviously have a bunch of nothing but white supremacists that make up a good portion of their voting bloc. What could possibly be the other reason for not voting for people of color or women? What could be the reason?
Hmm.
Nothing other than racism. But I'll let Stu look into all of the results and give us your power ranking.
Okay, it's posted up at glenbeck.com. You can check it out there and share it and everything. This is the ranking of the... There's 20 candidates in the race right now. How do you make sense of a chaotic environment like that? It's what we try to do. We have a sort of a formula, algorithm, if you will. It's about 30 different categories that we measure, everything from polling to fundraising to all that. And we come up, put it all through the machine, the fancy power ranking machine
the
I've
machine.
Invented.
Does it have mm-hmm. does it have those tapes, those like big tapes that go back and forth?
Yes.
Oh, wow. It's also I used to see those in Batman.
To start it up, it has one of those like contraptions like in Pee-wee's Playhouse where you'd have to like... There'd be a flame from a candle that would break a string, and then it would like, it was
really?
Like one of those machines.
And then that machine works.
Yeah, it is about half the budget for the show this year. Just wanted to make sure, make you aware of that. Okay, so 20 candidates. Let's start from number 20. Wayne Messam. He is he's the mayor of Miramar, California. His best shot at the nomination continues to be something out of the series Designated Survivor. So if something like that happens,
if everybody else dies,
if everyone else dies, and not just the people in the campaign, but many other people mm-hmm. would have to die. Mm-hmm. It would have to be mm-hmm. a Game of Thrones type
right.
situation,
right?
I think for that to happen. Number 19, Marianne Williamson. She has a 17.1 out of 100. That's how we come up with this. It gives you a number 1 to 100. 17, not a good number because 100 is good. She is on the reparations train, kind of like everybody else. And she's just trying to outdo her foes with just sheer financial force. $100 billion, she says. Anything less than that is an insult. That is an interesting negotiation technique.
Well, my number was $200 billion.
Oh, that's
anything less is an insult.
Bernie's just waiting for everybody else's number to come out so he can come out and have it be higher. Number 18 is John Delaney.
John Delaney.
John Delaney had some good news this week. He was actually fifth in total fundraising for the first quarter.
Huh.
Raised $12.1 million. Only problem with it is that 97% of the money came from his own bank account. So that's an issue.
Right.
He happens to be wealthy and no one else is donating to his campaign except for him. So minor issue. Eric Swalwell. Eric Swalwell is just one of these congressmen who's running to raise his profile. But he does it the same way every time. Finds the news cycle, finds the kind of crazy left-wing viewpoint on it, and then just adds steroids to it. So his new one is, everyone's like, well, there wasn't really collusion, but there was obstruction of justice. He's saying that that there certainly was collusion. Like, that's his approach to everything. He just goes a little bit further than everyone he can on the left and goes on TV and says kind of outlandish things. I assume I believe one of his policies, I'm not having confirmed this yet, he wants all guns melted down and the liquid metal to be poured on the heads of NRA members. But that was not exactly confirmed yet. Number 16, a score of 20.6, is Seth Moulton. So who is Seth Moulton?
Yeah, I was just going to say, when do we get to people that, like, I've ever heard of?
This is amazing.
Yeah.
Because I don't know who he is either. In fact, no one knows who he is. Listen to this anecdote. He's actually sharing willingly on the campaign trail.
This is a quote. I said, you know, part of my job is to take tough questions, Moulton told the gathered business and political leaders. You can ask even really difficult questions. And there still was silence. And then finally, someone in the way back of the room raised her hand and she said, who are you? He's telling audiences this story. He's so unknown that people are screaming out as their only question, who are you?
Well, my question is really back to the lady. Mm-hmm. If you don't know, why are you sitting there? There's a crowd. I'm going to sit down.
I think they invade every establishment in Iowa and New Hampshire. Like, if you're just out having eggs.
Okay, yeah.
Right?
I would be. I would have gone postal a long time ago if I lived in Iowa.
I think I would move from either one of those states because of this thing every 4 years.
Yeah, you're like, come on. I just want to eat my breakfast.
Yeah.
Shut up. Leave me alone.
And it's not even every 4 years anymore. Now it's two of the 4 years.
Yeah.
I had just heard the other day that, and I had forgotten about this, that if we go back to 2016 and look at the campaign, Bernie Sanders wasn't even in yet. We have 20 candidates in. And at this point in 2015, Bernie hadn't even entered the race yet. That's how crazy this year is. And this is, I think, the new norm, right? Tim Ryan, huge fan of Tim Ryan, I know, from Ohio, Glenn. He was talking to less than 16 people 1 week after his announcement. Not a great sign for the campaign. Mm-hmm. Did go on CNN, where he also talked to less than 16 people. So, but that's more of a CNN problem than a Tim Ryan problem.
You know what's
problem.
Amazing is he's like number 15.
Yeah, he's number 15. He's right. Actually like up with the list a little bit. Yeah. He also discussed his passion for the Dave Matthews Band, solidifying the key constituency of the year 1995. So anyone who is voting in 1995 is gonna really love that.
Can I ask you a question? Mm-hmm. How are the networks going to cover these debates? Because they said they won't do the kiddies table.
Oh, yes, I actually know this. So I know they're not going to do that. So because they say the issue they had with Bernie and all the hacking and stuff was it looks like the DNC is favoring certain candidates. So their way of handling this was a bizarre approach where they gave people two chances to get into the debates. The chances are you have to poll over 1%. In three polls, 1%, or have 65,000 individual donors.
Or not.
So what's happened is almost everybody has 65,000 individual donors because they all went after small donors to try to get to that 65,000 and solidify their appearance in the debates. So even the people who are polling at 0%, a lot of them have 65,000 individual donors entering them in the debates. They're going to do two separate debates. I think it's in June is now the first one, late June. And it's going to be, right now it looks like it could be 10 and 10. My guess is some of the people won't hit these standards because a lot of them are getting 0% and a lot of them are not going to be able to raise the funds to get to 65,000. But I believe as of now, it's something like 16 are already there, have hit one or two of those standards. So what they're going to do...
Having 65,000 donors wouldn't be so hard.
You wouldn't think so, especially if all you need from them is $1. Because they're trying to make it seem like this is a grassroots thing, so we only need $1. So people are just going and just asking for $1. And so they're getting it from 65,000 people, which is an accomplishment in a certain regard, but isn't one that's going to put you as a top-tier presidential candidate. So there are a couple of other restrictions.
Could put you in as a spoiler.
Could. And what they're going to do as well is not make it two tiers, where, as you mentioned, the big the adult table and the kiddie table, they're just going to randomly mix the candidates. So like Bernie Sanders might not be going up against Joe Biden. They may be in two separate debates, which is a big deal, right? I mean, I guess as it sorts itself out as we go forward, it will be, the field will narrow. But that might not happen until Iowa. If you're running for president and you're putting all this work into it, why are you not at least going to last till Iowa? Mm-hmm. So you think most people are going to stay in there until then. It's going to be fun to watch. Again, the chaos on the other side is hilarious.
Can we get to the top 10?
Yeah, I'll give you a quick. Tulsi Gabbard at 14. 13 is Andrew Yang. 12, Jay Inslee. 11, John Hickenlooper. 10 is Julian Castro, whatever you want to say.
Okay, hang on. We're going to narrow down to the top 10. And this is, Stu has been working on this system for almost a couple of years to try to get this right. I mean, he's been watching, elections for decades now, but he has really worked on this to try to gather all of the statistics. You know, if you listen very long, how much of a freak he is on statistics.
Thank you.
He's watched all of the statistics to be able to see and measure who really is ahead. Forget about what everybody else says. who's really ahead, what's really driving these different candidates, and who has the best chance to face Donald Trump. We'll get back into that here in just a second. First, let me tell you about the USCCA. Good guy. Good guy has a gun. And bad guy comes in. Good guy pulls out his gun, stops bad guy. Good guy thrown into jail. That happens a lot.
I believe it happened this weekend in a pretty big story. That was the
shooting. He wasn't thrown into jail.
No.
And that's probably because he was...
you're saying the guy with the gun. Sorry, I misunderstood the story. Yeah, that's true. That does actually happen a lot. But this is a good example of a good guy actually using the gun to get rid of someone who could have killed a lot more people. So often, that results in the good guy
going
in trouble with law.
It's crazy. Incredible. Do you remember the off-duty policeman when we were in New York that shot a guy who took a machete or a samurai sword and had killed somebody in a deli and then walked out of the deli and was holding this woman hostage, and he had the knife to her throat, and some off-duty police officer or retired police officer who still could carry a gun in New York shot the guy, killed him. He was sued because he was irresponsible. He was shooting from across the street, and that could have gotten her killed, but it didn't. That's how crazy things are. You don't ever want to have to fire your gun. But if you do, you want the USCCA on your side. They're dedicated to educating, training, and legally protecting Americans like you. And this week only, they're giving away a free guide and audiobook about exactly what to do in these situations. It's called The Complete Concealed Carry and Family Defense Guide. 164 pages of life-saving information. It comes complete with an audiobook, 100% free. How to see the attackers before they see you. How to survive a mass shooting scenario. And the best tactical places to be in public areas like restaurants. So get this free guide, the Home Defense Checklist. All you have to do is text the word BECK to 87222 right now. Claim your free guide, audiobook, and checklist. Your information always respected and kept private. Don't take chances. Make sure you're learning from the self-defense experts. Text Beck at 87222. That's Beck at 87222. 10 seconds, station ID. Okay, our Game of Thrones review coming up in just a few minutes. Also, we'll tell you more about our special on socialism in just a few minutes. First, Stu is going to complete his power rankings of the Democrats. Once a week, we look at the power rankings, see what's changed.
Okay, so top 10 here, Julian Castro at 35.7 out of 100. Kirsten Gillibrand has a 38.1. Amy Klobuchar, number 8. She is trying to run as a moderate in the moderate wing of the Democratic Party, which would be better for her if one that wing like existed. Is it, you know, right. I think if that was
a
thing.
That wing does kind of exist, doesn't it? Isn't that the Barack Obama wing
now? I know. Now that's what it is.
I mean, it's crazy that AOC came out over the weekend and she was like, you know, Barack Obama is not the guy. He kind of failed us. This is the new Democrats that look at Barack Obama as tame, like an old stodgy.
Yeah, those
did
are the old
nothing.
Days. Yeah. Number 7 is Elizabeth Warren, score 45.3. She's awful at campaigning, but her attempt to try to tie Game of Thrones into the campaign, saying it was an example of it's good to have powerful women, is one of the most disgusting, pandering pieces of nonsense. That's not the word I wanted to use there, that I've ever seen in my life. She is just terrible at this. And, you know, it's just... You know, you're just waiting for her to say, "Can I go? I'm going to go grab me a beer and watch some Game of Thrones."
Oh, she's
like
so
at
bad.
That level of just
so
the pandering is disgusting. Cory Booker's number 6, and again, we talk about having a large field. That's different than having a good field. If Cory Booker is number 6, you've got problems. She had 40. He had 40 whole people at his appearance in Nevada, which is pretty impressive. And they noted that it was comprised of people of varying ages. Which is different than most crowds, because most crowds are contained entirely of people that just have the same birthday. And
not varying ages.
No. Mm-mm. That's totally different than most crowds. Mm-hmm. Bob Franco Rourke has a 60.2 on our scale. I'll get to the big guys here. He's still number 5. Even though it does seem like he's really, all the pretty boy hype has faded away from Beto and gone to Pete Buttigieg, I think.
Buttigieg knows who he is.
I guess. I mean, he hasn't had any tough questioning. We'll get to that here in a second. But again, this is a guy who gave less than... So Kirsten Gillibrand gave 2% to charity in the tax reports that came out. Beto O'Rourke gave 1/7 of that amount. He was at 0.3%. His wife's dad is worth somewhere between $500 million and $20 billion. And this is what he's giving.
No. Mm-hmm. He's giving his time.
That's true.
Yeah, he said my time on the campaign trail away from my family so I could fight for you. That's what I'm giving.
Oh
wow.
Brave.
Thank you.
Brave. Pete Buttigieg comes in at number 4, his 62.9 out of 100. He is so far again hasn't been challenged, although there's been little bits of pieces now about him as a candidate, his sort of profile. Barney Frank came out and said, "Look, the only reason this guy's getting this much attention is because he's gay." Barney Frank came out and said that. Another Democratic activist is saying, look, yeah, he's gay. He's a gay man. But you know what that says to me? He's just a man. Another man. Another white man. And it's not good enough on the intersectionality scale. The issue is when you base your vote on a candidate's genitals, you wind up having issues. This is a very confusing process. Number 3 was number 1 last week. Kamala Harris, a 68.6 on our 1 to 100 scale. You can view her campaign kind of one of two ways. One, she had a big launch and she's faded. Or two, she's playing the long game. She's looking at this and kind of replicating the Barack Obama path. She's lined up more Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton more than double any other candidate.
Wow.
And she's got all these celebrities lining up behind her. I think she's attempting that approach, whether it works or not in this.
She is also going to be the vice presidential candidate.
She may, but let me give you this bit of...
If she's not the presidential nominee, she will be the vice presidential nominee.
I'm generally bullish on Kamala Harris. Plus, she raises a lot of money, which someone would like who's running for president or their VP. I will say, though, can a Democratic candidate in this news environment win with this as a literal viewpoint that they're admitting? This is from the Harris campaign communications director, Lily Adams. She says, Kamala Harris's support for Israel is central to who she is. Her support for Israel is central to who she is. She's firm in her belief that Israel has a right to exist and defend itself, including against rocket attacks from Gaza. So just admitting that there are attacks from Gaza and not some defensive measure is one thing. But when you're saying that they're responding, you're actually admitting that the Jews are not they're responsible for every single one of these problems. Mm-hmm. I don't know how you get through that in the Democratic
it's
environment.
It's a longer
right
term
now.
Play.
Maybe. But that's risky. Number 2, Bernie Sanders. Now, Sanders came out and called the Israeli government racist. He has a 69.2 out of 100 on our scale. He has been able to convince Cardi B to vote for him, which is interesting because she's already made these rants. We played the rants where she says she hates taxes.
Right.
And now she wants to vote for Cardi. Cardi B is going to vote for her. I don't think Cardi B is following these things as closely as we all would like.
I'm going out on a limb here, but I don't think people should follow Cardi B's advice on anything, quite honestly. I mean, she might have good advice on some things. I don't know what they might be, but it's not politics.
If you want to drug and steal your prostitution clients, you could go to Cardi B, for example.
All right.
Because that's one thing she's good at. And number 1, and I want to point out, 69.2 is the number for Bernie Sanders. Number 1 with 78.8. So this is a big gap in this ranking, is Joseph Robinette Biden Jr. You pointed out, Glenn, that Barack Obama, with a chance to make a statement about how people of different colors and races and maybe sexual orientations could do these roles, chose Joe Biden Jr. As his candidate, an old white guy. Mm-hmm. So that was what they did. Now, whether that's going to happen again, I don't know. Is it okay to have one white guy on the ticket even for the Democrats right now? I don't know.
They don't seem to want that. I mean, at least the media and their puppeteers don't seem to want a white male.
No. So you can get all the rankings up at glenbeck.com right now. And we should point out before we go, I didn't make it up. Robinette is actually his middle name.
It's quite remarkable to see what is happening. And Stu has broken it all down. He does once a week. You can find it at glenbeck.com. Glenbeck.com, also World of Stu. He'll tweet that out. I'm sure that link to it here in just a few minutes.
Good idea.
Stand by. Avengers Game of Thrones.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.
American Financing Corporation, NMLS 182334, www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Are you in a fixed-rate mortgage? It's good if you're in a fixed-rate mortgage. If you're in an adjustable mortgage, I think you're in real peril. The Fed is going to have to raise rates. They've shown that they want to raise rates. Now, they've said that they're going to have a more sensible view of this. But when they start going up, they're going to start going up fast. And your mortgage could become unaffordable quickly. I urge you, please get your financial house in order and refinance your mortgage to lock in the current rate. It's really smart to do that right now. Take advantage of a free mortgage review from American Financing. It's a great way to learn about new loan programs that might be able to save you a ton of money every month. It's a simple 10-minute phone call with a salary-based mortgage consultant. It's a great time to buy a home, a great time to lock in a mortgage rate. American Financing, 800-906-2440. It's AmericanFinancing.net, AmericanFinancing.net.
All right, go to GlennBeck.com for the candidate ratings and for the big special on Wednesday, BlazeTV.com/Glenn. Learn what's going on with socialism in the United States.
No, please. Last night, 6-7 years in the making, winter finally came last night to Winterfell, and it was an epic battle. The good news is we are not going to spoil anything because Stu knows nothing about this series. He's only watched 3 episodes now. He doesn't know who all of the characters are. In fact, doesn't know who any of the characters are. And it was an odd, dark experience for our friend Stu Breguier. Here he is with his Game of Thrones update.
Some big reveals in this one.
Really?
Yeah. I think there actually were some big things that happened.
Okay.
I hope some of these aren't... I don't think they're spoilers.
No,
I'm
pretty sure they're not.
Okay.
I looked at your notes and they're definitely... Mm-mm.
Okay, so there's an hour 25 on my DVR for this episode.
Yeah.
Approximately 45 minutes of that are the opening title sequence.
No,
No. It's impossible how long it is.
Right.
It's incredible.
I'm with you on that. Okay.
So the fat guy is scared of battle. Fat guy from one of the houses that we placed last week.
Yeah.
There's a little kid warrior who is not afraid. Could be a boy or a girl. I'm not sure. The angry elf is not afraid of the battle. The wheelchair Backstreet Boy is being wheeled towards battle, which seems like really misdirected bravery there. I don't think that's a good idea.
Really?
Yeah. Everyone is kind of quiet and ready. There's a lot of troops, but it's really dark and it's hard to tell. I did not write The Art of War. That's not me.
Mm-hmm.
However, aligning all of your troops in the most compact area possible seems like a bad strategy, which is what they did.
It was a different strategy.
Yeah.
It was one that I had not seen. I will tell you, have you ever seen a battlefield like this? Have you ever seen a battle scene
immense,
like this?
Yeah.
It was unbelievable. Unbelievable.
It really was. It was an impressive piece of whatever it was. I mean, of television. It was amazing.
That would have been a good film.
It would have been. It was that quality.
Yeah.
Every major character is in the battle, but Jon Snow and the blondie queen lady are just watching from basically like a luxury box a mile away. They're just checking it out. I get that they're important, but they don't...
It was kind of hard. You're like... I mean, if I were down on the ground, I'd be looking up going,
hey,
where
down
are
here?
You? Yeah.
10 minutes in, one sentence of dialogue. That's
really?
It was 10 minutes on my DVR, and there was only one sentence of dialogue so far. In a dramatic moment, a lady kind of looks like Andie MacDowell. You know, she's from Groundhog Day,
yeah.
Many other things. She makes all the swords light on fire for the first group of battlers.
So the Andie MacDowell character from Groundhog Day.
Yes. She
sets the swords
on fire,
mm-hmm.
Which it seems like there's a limited advantage to this. Like, what? So your sword's on fire, but... I mean, what good is that going to do? If you stab someone, likely they're going to die anyway. What are you? I guess you're lighting the way so you can see a little bit.
They,
but it also could catch you on fire very easily.
Yeah, no,
seems like there's significant downsides.
You missed a key element of what will kill the army.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is. I think they were honestly just set on fire because of the cool visual. Because from the luxury box where Jon Snow is, it looked really cool as they all lit up.
It
I think that was
cool.
The main reason.
It did
they
look
did
cool.
It.
And then when they were charging, it looked cool.
Yes. The fat guy realized how smart he was to be scared of the battle because it was not going well.
Right.
The army attacks, but it's like super. Did you get? I mean, to me, it was so dark and so close up, I couldn't tell what was going on at all. It was just a bunch of. Occasionally, you'd see like scary faces pass in front of the screen, and then like someone gets decapitated.
Right.
That was essentially the entire battle.
It was kind of hard to follow.
I couldn't.
Because it was going quickly and very close, and you're right, very dark. Dark enough to the point I thought maybe the iPad had shut off.
Right, yeah, because I think also it's a way to lower your production costs. They did this with the swords all on fire, right?
Yeah.
They had the scene where they all went into there and they all got all to battle and you can't see what's going on. You see a bunch of swords on fire and then they all just start getting extinguished one by one and then they're get wiped out. And it's a great way to just save the money of having to produce that battle, right?
Right. Like,
whatever happened over there, you didn't see it. You're too far away.
Go to this big empty studio and hold these Christmas lights. And we're going to put them out one at a time.
That's it. It's nice and easy.
Right.
So Frumpy Girl gives the redhead a dagger and acts as if it could be useful at some point in the battle. So that's interesting. I don't know what it means.
Okay.
How about this one, though? Blonde Queen Lady, the one who's the Siegfried and Roy of dragons.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
She flies in and just turns on fire breathing and wipes out like half the army. Why didn't you do that before you sent the poor light up fire sword people over there?
Right.
They all got killed.
Well, they're.
Why not just fly over there and wipe them all out with a giant dragon fire?
There was a strategic reason for that, and it was talked about while they were in the, as you said, luxury skybox.
Hmm. I didn't catch that. So
this is why I say don't worry about spoilers, because he's not catching a lot of important things.
Okay, so it was a really bad storm and or a weapon that was used or happened that made it, I guess, tough for dragons to fly. So the dragon thing stopped working at one point. Then they started retreating, which was really bad, I guess. And then, like, you see the faces of them, and it's like, is this entire? I honestly want to know this. Is this a zombie series?
No. No, it's not.
They're fighting. This is essentially zombies. Like, it's a Walking Dead episode.
It did seem reminiscent of that. Like in old-timey clothes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a medieval Walking Dead.
It's not. The zombies have played a very minimal role.
You said this was the big battle they were building to all the whole time.
Well, this is the battle. This is the first the first line of the series, if I'm not mistaken, is winter is coming. This is the battle of winter, but it's not necessarily the final battle. It's just a big battle.
All right. So then they tried to light the trenches on fire with the flaming arrows, but it was too cold and windy. That didn't work out very well at all.
No, that's not what.
And about a half hour in, you realize this battle's not going well. They are not doing a good job in this particular battle. That's when the big reveal happened to me. Maybe the biggest reveal of the whole series that I've watched so far.
No, you're not giving away anything.
Not a big...
We checked with this, right?
Okay, yeah. Right. We've run it by some experts. They say this is somehow not a big reveal. But the redhead woman, she's talking to Angry Elf, and they reveal that they were once married. Married! The Angry Elf guy and redhead
not
girl
a reveal.
Are married.
Yeah, not a big reveal.
It just didn't look like. It did not look likely. I'll say.
Really?
I said this. That would be a real surprise to me if I was in this community.
Right. Okay.
And those two, really?
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, you have those friends. I happen to be that friend for a lot of people. How did he get her?
Right.
That's me most of the time. Kind of the same way there.
Okay.
The Dragon Queen is referenced, which I think is Blondie because of her Siegfried Roy dragon situation that she's got going on. The curly-haired guy apologized to the wheelchair Backstreet Boy who was out in the snow in his wheelchair again. This poor guy is always out in the snow in his wheelchair, which is really terrible terrain for a wheelchair. Why don't they understand this?
I don't know.
I mean, there's got to be
It's not like he can escape.
But there's got to be a cart or something they can pull this guy around. He seems important.
Right. Well,
and they're always having him wheel out in the snow.
They used to just drag him by his armpits. For like a whole season, they would just drag him around in the snow by his armpits.
Oh, so he's excited about this.
The wheelchair is a big step up for him.
Okay. The zombies beat the fire trench by laying on top of the fire and putting it out. This was a solid strategy by the zombie people.
Yeah, I thought so too.
That was good. That was a pretty good twist. Yeah, I didn't see that one coming. Yeah. Let's see. There's the zombies seem to disintegrate when they're hit. They're not like people. They just disintegrate into little pieces, maybe?
With fire.
Okay.
Swords.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah. That makes sense. See, you're explaining something.
Yeah, yeah.
The young girl stabbed a very tall guy in the eye, and he...
not really.
And of course, it was one of those moments where he like picks her up and looks longingly into her eyes instead of just crushing her like every other person they've come across.
Right.
Which allows her the opportunity to stab him in the eye, which is just, again, terrible strategy by the tall guy.
Right, okay.
The dragon fight happens, but it's kind of hard to tell. They seem to be fighting at one point. Again, this is about zombies, this show. That's what I've understood.
Really not.
The zombies can detect the dripping blood of the frumpy girl while she's hiding from them. They can detect that, and that's worrisome. However, they can't detect any of her footprints as she's walking around the entire place over and over again. They can't hear that. They can only hear the dripping blood.
Right. They did seem a little keen on the small things.
Yes, they...
Yeah.
I like that. That's a good way of looking at it. Guy was using a flaming sword inside, which is just a fire safety hazard. That's for outside use.
Right.
Okay.
Well, if your house is made entirely of stone.
That's true. It's going to be helped more, but you still have curtains, probably.
It could cause some serious damage.
The zombies have a dragon, too, and that one breathes blue fire, which is the difference there. Mm-hmm. Another big reveal. I thought this was key. The frumpy girl, who was just like standing on the side of the road, is the only other time I've really even seen her. She seems to be very important. Like, I would say she's a very important character in the show. I'm going to say that.
Yeah. All right. So she might be known to the audience as something else other than Frumpy Girl.
I feel like that's probably not her official name.
All right.
That is what she looks like.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, my laptop got down to 11% power, which was...
Right. Oh, that's not good. That's concerning.
So, but this was a big change. So this guy, another guy on the opposition who seemed very important, his name was Zacharias, potentially. And he was hit by the blondie dragon's fire, but then nothing happened to him. Kind of like...
Dakaris. You're saying Dakaris, not Zacharias?
I was saying Zacharias is what I thought I heard.
And that was the name of...
The character.
The character.
Huh. When you look at me, this does not seem accurate. But Jon Snow was going to fight Zacharias one-on-one.
Uh-huh.
But then the zombies that were all there, they just woke up.
Right.
And they're all alive again.
Yeah.
Now, I couldn't tell if it was the zombies or the other side that woke up. But all the dead people woke up, and then they were all on Team Zacharias somehow.
Right.
And then the zombies were burrowing through the protected area where the important people were living in the castle.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
There's a lot of, I would say, important people are about to die, but then are saved at the last second by some other important character. Like, that scene happened about 60 times in this battle scene.
Uh-huh.
The curly hair guy learned he was a good man from the wheelchair Backstreet Boy, which was apparently enough for him to run at Zacharias in a pointless suicide attack. And he failed spectacularly in this effort.
Who is Zacharias?
He's like a guy, he looked like almost like a robot superhero type of guy. Like, almost like a...
Like the...
Max Headroom.
Yeah, okay. It's like
call it Max Headroom if that makes you more comfortable. Yeah, right. But I think Zacharias is his real name, so we should just use that.
Okay, well, you're not getting a review like this anyplace else.
No. And then, as Backstreet Boy is about to die, my computer dies first. So I didn't write down anything else after that. But something else happened after that. But it doesn't matter, because the big revelations had already occurred. Number one, Frumpy Girl is an important character.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, Redhead and Angry Elf are married. Those two are the big things to take away, I think, from this episode.
You know, I think I watched an entirely different episode than Stu, but...
I think the Zacharias guy is pretty dangerous. They should watch out for him.
You know, after this is all over, I'm going to tell you...
I can't wait to actually know what the hell I'm talking about.
Yeah.
It's going to
be
great.
Yeah. Okay, so Simply Safe. Simply Safe, we've talked about Simply Safe for a very long time. I think they had about 6 employees when we first met. And I quickly realized they were the only ones that are really doing home security systems right. The other options are the big traditional companies that try to sell you an outdated system, expensive long-term contracts, and that's not happening with Simply Safe. The other extreme is you have a new security gadget, you can get at Best Buy or whatever, and it protects your front door and allows you to see who's at your front door, and that's it. And what happens if you miss an alert when you're monitoring it yourself? Simply Safe makes it easy to protect your family, secure your home. They have around-the-clock 24/7 professional monitoring and police dispatch. It's $15 a month.
You know who didn't have it? You know who didn't have Simply Safe? Blondie Queen Lady. She didn't have it. Redhead didn't have it. Angry Elf didn't have it. None of them had it, and that's why they had all these issues.
I didn't see it on the doors of Winterfell at all.
Because you think if they saw the sign, they were like, protected by Simply Safe, they would have stopped this
close
army.
Close the gate! Turn on the Simply Safe!
That would have been some solid product placement. These guys got to think of that.
That's right. There's no contract, no hidden fees, and it's super easy to use. Just visit simplysafebeck.com. If you have zombies coming through your windows and your doors, Simply Safe will call the police for you. SimplySafeBeck.com. Order today. You'll get 10% off your system. That's SimplySafeBeck.com. SimplySafeBeck.com.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
This is incredible. This is absolutely incredible. New York Times has done it again. They just ran, you know, the cartoon, you know, where the dog was Bibi Netanyahu. And it was the Jewish person leading, you know, the Jewish guide dog leading the blind Trump. Okay, first of all, I just posted on Instagram. I'll tweet it out too. A propaganda poster on the cover of a German magazine, propaganda against the Jews. It was a Jewish man leading by the hand a figure of Winston Churchill. So it's the same thing. It's the same thing. Then 2 days later, the New York Times publishes this. It's Benjamin Netanyahu, I guess, dressed as Moses with the Ten Commandments. I mean,
and he's taking a selfie of himself. Right?
I mean,
is that what he's doing?
Yeah. What is this?
Basically, trying to say that he cares. Or he's showing that he cares about Jews, I guess, and that's at least the point. Maybe.
Or he's
like, he's taking pictures of himself.
No, that's Benjamin Netanyahu. That's not Trump.
No, I know.
Yeah.
But like Netanyahu doesn't actually care. Like he's just, I don't care about the Ten Commandments. I don't care about Moses. I care about pictures of myself.
Or I'm the new Moses. You know, look at me, look at me.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, holy cow. And this one got passed at your 2 days into a scandal where you've done horrible propaganda and you do it again? I mean, look at this, Stu. Look at this. Is that not the same basic idea?
Same picture as the one the New York Times ran.
Yeah.
Basically, cartoon of some Jewish force leading around the American,
Churchill.
But I mean, you know, the same concept applies here, obviously, different nation. But leading them around as if they're the ones really calling the shots, right?
Unbelievable happening. And we have Amy Holmes. She's going to be joining us here in a second. She's had some trouble recently because she dare speak out against Ilhan Omar and Ocasio-Cortez. And that's just something you just don't do. We have Amy Holmes coming up in just a few minutes. Stand by.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.
All right. We're so glad that you are here with us. We have the final hour of the show. Amy Holmes is coming up in just a second. We also want to tell you about a special that is happening on Wednesday that we ask you to watch. I'm really excited about this special. As it is, it's going to open your eyes to what's really happening and how close we are to seeing the destruction of our country as we know it. It's called Socialism, A Warning for the Dead. It will be available on Facebook and YouTube and Blaze TV. It's free. We want everyone to watch it. Special event Wednesday at 8 p.m. More in a second.
fusion of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Well, anti-Semitism has reared its ugly head, as it always does when socialism begins to rise, and it gets uglier and uglier. And we saw more anti-Semitism this weekend, this time with a shooting at a synagogue in California. The press will, of course, make this, and so will the politicians, about guns, etc., etc. Not anti-Semitism, but that's really what we should be addressing here. These socialists that are anti-Semitic, because they always go hand in hand. There is an article that was written in a German magazine, Two Women on the Verge of a Party Takedown. It's great analysis that has caused its writer some trouble here in America. The writer is our friend and former co-worker, Amy Holmes. She's talking about AOC and Ilhan Omar, some stories that you might not have heard before. We go there in 1 minute.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Every time you have to buy or sell a home, you're starting from scratch. You're starting with somebody that you don't know. The real estate agent, you don't know who's... I mean, how do you find one? Do you know how to measure what makes a great agent? We have gone and pre-selected some of the best agents all around the country. We choose agents with a long track record of performance. They're experts in your neighborhood, and they do business like you do, with shared values. That's what we look for, because this is the biggest investment of your life. And what we look for is somebody that can help you. So who are we? Well, it's a company I started about 4 or 5 years ago. It's called realestateagentsitrust.com. realestateagentsitrust.com. If you want to sell your house on time for the most amount of money with the least hassle, if you're going into a new place and you don't know where the good neighborhoods are, where you should live, you know, where you're going to be happiest with your family, realestateagentsitrust.com. They will help you with the right real estate agent. So get your home sold fast and for the most amount of money with realestateagentsitrust.com. Amy Holmes joins us now. Amy Holmes, who really was with The Blaze when we first started, and she did The Blaze's Real News. She has hosted MSNBC's morning news program way too early, and now you'll see her on CNN. She's in election coverage. She's at the Situation Room, yada, yada, yada. Welcome to the program, Amy Holmes. Hi, Amy.
Glenn, thank you so much for having me this morning.
You bet. So I want to talk to you about this article that you wrote for a German magazine.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me what you found about Ilhan Omar and AOC.
Yes. So I wrote this piece for the Swiss Weekly called Die Weltwoche. I didn't have to write it in German, thankfully, since I don't speak German. It was translated for me. But I, you know, did reporting. I dug into both of these women, and Ilhan Omar, more specifically, I picked up the phone and I called a woman named Phyllis Kahn, who was a Minnesota state legislator that Ilhan Omar first beat in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
Phyllis had served in the Minnesota State Legislature for 44 years, the longest serving woman in electoral politics, and along comes Ilhan Omar and historically unseats her to become the first Somali American to serve in the Minnesota State Legislature.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in the course of, you know, discussing this with Phyllis, and I think I'm one of the first people that's called her even just to get her reaction to Ilhan Omar now in Congress, and she said, you know, I asked her about the anti-Semitism, and Phyllis is Jewish. She was born to Eastern European Jewish immigrants in New York City in Brooklyn. And I asked her about it, and she was surprised. And Glenn, she said, oh, no, not at all. And she had warned that Ilhan Omar seemed to harbor anti-Semitic, you know, proclivities and impulses way back in 2016. But prior to that, what the story that she told me that I have not seen anywhere in the national media, mainstream media, in coverage of Ilhan Omar, is back in 2014, Ms. Omar was a city council aide, and she was at a polling station, probably illegally, to campaign for her boss, for the state legislator who was running against Phyllis Kahn. And at the polling station, a Somali-American election judge was there speaking in Somali to Somali-American voters in Minnesota, telling them that this candidate is our Somali brother and the other is the old Jewish lady. Mm. And Ilhan Omar was there. Now, Phyllis Kahn had a Somali-American supporter who understood Somali and understood what this election judge was saying. He signed an affidavit that Ilhan Omar was shouting instructions to the election judge and that this, you know, that she was in cahoots. Ilhan Omar, of course, denies it, says that it's ridiculous. But this was all going on sort of under the radar in Somali with these, and Phyllis, as she said to me, Ilhan Omar does not deny that she was there. She does not deny that there was communication in Somali. She denies that she that the woman said, and this is for the old Jewish lady. Mm. Now, Phyllis said, even if Ilhan Omar did not actively participate in directing voters to vote for our Somali brother over the old Jewish lady, she was there and she could have put a stop to it, and she didn't. And, you know, that's sort of the most generous reading of that situation.
So,
well, the election judge was removed, was told not to work at that precinct because of the conflict. The, you know, Kahn's campaign did file complaints. So it's on the record, Glenn. And if you dig on Google, you'll see some local reports at the time in 2014 about this incident. But I have not seen it anywhere in current mainstream media news coverage of Ilhan Omar's, you know, apparently fairly long history now when it comes to elections of either expressing anti-Semitic views or being tolerant of them.
She is, she's clearly, I think, a, I want to be very, very careful here. She is, to me, clearly a very passionate woman against Israel, and yes. I question her relationship deeply with CARE. I think CARE is instrumental in her life, and she does.
Well, she's on the board. She's done extensive fundraising for them, mm-hmm. And you know she's been deeply entangled with CARE for many years.
So tell me what you found now about AOC, because your article is two women on the verge of a party takedown. What do you mean by that?
Well, you can read it two ways. Either the party takes them down or they take the party down.
Which do you think is more likely?
Well, I think, unfortunately, that it seems more likely that they are pushing the Democratic Party in a very, at least to me, disturbing and concerning direction. Mm-hmm. The fact that you know, our House of Representatives could not clearly and specifically denounce anti-Semitism or, shall we say, ugly views when it comes to support for Israel, support for the Jewish state, and the Jewish state itself. The fact that our Congress could not do that, I thought, was extremely disturbing, extremely telling about, I guess, what, you know, sort of euphemistically is called the new young energy of the Democratic left. And I find it also extremely disturbing that AOC, she seems to be an absolutely loyal and vigorous defender of Ilhan Omar, no matter what Congressman Omar says, and that she will not take a step back and start to look more carefully and more critically at these, you know, now multiple remarks that are being made by Congressman Omar in public. That's very disturbing to me that this is. And then, you know, if you criticize or critique these remarks, of course, the shield goes straight up of you're attacking a black Muslim woman or a woman of color. Well, no, we're attacking the views that are being expressed that we know lead to very ugly chapters in world history.
I had somebody who was a former lefty, is still very, very liberal, but mm-hmm. is very concerned about what's happening with culture and how we're denying reality and everything else. And yeah. she said to me on Friday, she said, you know, this whole thing with the Christians being called Easter worshipers, she said,
what?
You didn't hear that?
No.
Yeah. The Christians that were bombed in Sri Lanka, all of the reports from the mainstream media was an attack on Easter worshipers. And so we pointed out
who worship Easter bunny.
Easter, I don't know.
Colored eggs.
I don't know, but none of them would say these were Christians. They was all Christians. Easter worshipers. So
maybe they just don't know what Easter is. They don't know.
I don't know, but she said, you know, I heard all these conservatives get upset about that, and she said, it's not like the reporters are trying to destroy Christianity. She said they're just afraid to use language that looks like it supports Christianity. And I said, well, I think that makes that worse.
Like afraid of
who?
Their own
who are
audience.
They afraid of?
Right. The left.
Right.
So basically the result is erasing Christianity, which is the same as attempting to destroy it.
Correct.
If you can't say Christianity, and if you can't say that these were Christians who were killed, who were targeted deliberately for their faith, and now the press can't even say that.
So you write in your story about Joe Lieberman and how that he came out and talked about AOC, and she said, "Who's dat?" That was her tweet. And
you know, dismissed him as if he was completely irrelevant.
Right. And in speaking to Joe Lieberman, he says that he thinks a lot of the people that he knows, the, you know, older line Democrats, that they are terrified of these two and their cult.
Yes, I spoke with another. In researching AOC, I spoke with a former aide to U.S. Senator Chuck Schumer, Michael Taubman, and I quote him in the piece. And in our conversation, I asked him, you know, here in New York, he's based here in New York, how, you know, what are you hearing from, Jewish Democrats, Jewish donors to the Democratic Party? And he said, oh, they're terrified. They're absolutely apoplectic about what's going on and what they're seeing and the Democratic Party's apparent unwillingness and impotence in putting a stop to it because, you know, they don't want to risk offending the young, new energy of the Democratic Party. It's extremely disturbing, but something that was a bit of a silver lining to me, Phyllis told me in our conversations, that which I report, that she's getting phone calls from Somali Americans in Minnesota who are asking her for her help in unseating Ilhan Omar, that they too are very disturbed by what they're hearing from her. And this is also, you know, in terms of Somali Americans in Minnesota not liking it, this has been reported in the New York Times and Washington Post and CNN, but she says, you know, she's going a step further. They're actually calling her to say, how do we unseat her? What is your advice? How do we get rid of her? And she said, well, the first step is you have to find a candidate. And Glenn, I watched this documentary, Time for Ilhan. I watched it so you don't have to.
Right.
You can get it on Amazon Prime. It is the softest, most glowing account of the rise of this mother of three children, et cetera, et cetera. And the documentarist is actually Jewish, Nora Shapiro, and she's been asked, you know, well, what do you think about what you've heard from Ilhan Omar? And, you know, she soft-pedaled it.
Yeah.
I'm like, what are you doing, lady?
Yeah.
You know, you need to be reporting honestly about this person.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, it is disturbing. As Phyllis points out, Ilhan Omar has been very skillful in presenting, least to the Minnesota public, presenting this very attractive, sympathetic figure to the voting public.
Amy,
and she's very good at deploying, you know, identity politics to make that connection.
You can follow Amy on Twitter at RealAmyHolmes.
RealAmyMHolmes.
Oh, RealAmyMHolmes. Sorry about that.
Yes, my middle initial, yep.
Yeah, RealAmyMHolmes. Thank you so much, Amy. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
You bet. God bless. All right, sponsor this half hour is FilterBuy. My son was sneezing up a storm all weekend. By the way, I took the shots 2 years ago, and I wish I would have done it when I was his age. I can't convince him to take the shots. But, man, my allergies used to be...
You told me about this when you did this. You take allergy shots how long?
For
took a while.
Almost a year. And took them. It put me in the hospital twice. My allergies were so bad. Put me in the hospital twice. They stopped giving me shots for horses, which is killing me. Horses and dogs. So I'm still allergic to my own dog, and I'm really allergic to horses. And the horse thing was putting me in the hospital every time they gave me a shot for that. They were like, "You're not going to ever ride a horse." And I'm like, "No, I want to ride horses."
Horses are like, "Phew."
I know. They're like, "I can't live that guy." Anyway, it has changed my life. It has totally changed my life. If you're ever thinking about doing allergy shots, do it. Do it before we get universal health care. FilterBuy. FilterBuy also is another way to make sure that your family is not suffering during the allergy season. The allergy season, man, with all these trees and flowers, they just burst with all this pollen, and my son was sneezing so hard every time he went to go outside. Inside, we have it, you know, we have it curtailed because we have our air filters changed. You have to change your air filter after the winter into the springtime because you've got all that crap that was sucked out of the air during the winter. Now you've got all the pollen coming in as well. So get a clean filter with FilterBuy, BUY.com. They'll send it to you within 24 hours. It'll be on your doorstep. If you just check the box, you know, auto renewal, it will send them every time you're supposed to change it. So you never have to think about it again. And you'll save 5% on it. It is FilterBuy. FilterBUY.com. FilterBuy.com. 10 seconds, station ID. I want to go to Gary in Georgia. Gary, welcome to the Glenn Beck program.
Hi, Glenn. I want to ask you in the name of the seven, the name of the nameless God, the old school, and everybody else on Westeros.
Yes.
Never let Spear do another one of those.
You don't like his Game of Thrones
what?
Recaps, his review.
It's painful.
That's what I enjoy so much is how
read the books and watches the show and loves it. It is painful to listen to students.
I assume you're saying the analysis is not correct, which of course I don't understand. It doesn't seem painful to me. I think I'm helping people kind of come along. Maybe they're picking up the series with me. Mm-hmm. And this is
for instance, Gary, did you know, as he pointed out, the big reveal last night was the angry elf and the redhead were married.
Yeah, crazy.
And the eye twitch starts again and the nose starts to bleed. It really hurts me to hear a show that's that good be talked about that badly.
Seriously, Gary, last night, was that battle scene, without, I don't want to give any spoilers, have you ever seen anything like that battle scene?
The closest I can come to is the one that you referenced, the Battle of Helm's Deep.
Right. And I don't know about you, but about halfway through that one, I was like, okay, come on, I got it.
I'm an old school nerd, so, you know, as long as there's broadcast involved, I'm good to go.
I was just amazed. I've never seen anything shot like that. I've never seen a battle scene that was really that good. Really, really good. Thank you so much, Gary. I appreciate it.
It's a little insulting, but thanks for calling in, Gary. Appreciate that. Yeah.
You should hear him talk about Avengers. Oh my God. You're not even gonna go see it, are you?
No.
Avengers did $1.2 billion dollars worldwide opening weekend.
I don't have interest in it, although, you know, this is what happens a lot of times with these big superhero movie releases. is they come out and I don't have any interest in them. And everyone talks about them like they're so amazing. And then I get inspired to go see it. And then I have the same level of disappointment I always do with these movies.
Well, that's because in these, you don't know. I mean, you don't know the storyline at all. So it's like coming in with Game of Thrones. That was an epic episode last night. And you came in and I was like, well, what'd you think? What'd you think? And you're like, you know, it's okay.
It was really dark. And the titles are too long.
They are really long.
They are really long.
And it was really dark. I actually thought at some point, I really need to get a 4K TV. Because I think the darks just aren't handled by, I have a nice, I think
maybe
a decent TV.
It's really dark. I have a pretty good TV too. And it's like, it's off at times.
Yeah.
You're like...
But that's a great idea if you're making these things, because you got to control the budgets. Just make it super dark for like 4 minutes at a time. You don't have to show anything.
That's right.
I could have made that for four minutes.
That without revealing anything, just talking about the darkness of it. Between the darkness of it and the storm, I think they could have shot that thing for about $25.
Yeah.
Because there were so many places you're like, I don't know what's going on.
Yeah. That's exactly how I analyzed it. And I haven't even watched the series.
Right.
See? Well, and I nailed it the same way you did.
No, not exactly.
In your face, Gary.
Not exactly. Back in just a second.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.
Latest trend for dark web cyber criminals is hacking into sensitive networks and stealing the identities of children and then selling this on the dark web. Now, why would you do that, Stu?
Because I don't know. I don't know why you do that. You should ask Jeffy these questions.
They have no credit history, so they're completely clean. Yep. And if they take your kid's name, it's going to be a long time before they, you know, they'll be almost 16 before. Promo code Beck, lifelock.com.
All right. The big special is coming up this weekend. Don't miss it. BlazeTV.com/Glenn. The future of socialism here.
You know, I have come to a place here recently to realize what my calling is, what my role is in life, what my calling is to warn. That's my job. My job is to be a clock on the wall that every 15 minutes tells you what time it is, what time it is. And the time is growing late and short. And people feel this. I have people come to me all the time who say, you know, I really kind of didn't get it when you were talking about X, Y, and Z. But boy, the stuff you've talked about is all happening now. And it's happening so fast. On Wednesday, we're putting together a free special. I've made this free on Blaze TV, also on YouTube and on Facebook. We've made it free because everybody has to see this. I mean, it's my job to blow the trumpets, and I am warning what is coming. And so we're doing a special. It's planned to be 90 minutes, but we don't know. It may be more. There's commercial free. And it is about the blueprint of what is happening. Former leader of Czechoslovakia, when this blueprint was originally released and the Czech people were free again, he said to the West, quote, "Read it and heed it, gentlemen of the free world, while you still are free." This is a blueprint that was written at about, I think, 1950, and it was written by one of the guys in the Communist Party in Czechoslovakia. Czechoslovakia was transformed from a free government, a free market, into a totalitarian dictatorship peacefully and legally. the Soviet army did not have to come in and subdue. And Czechoslovakia was the breadbasket of Europe. It was really successful. And Churchill had put these standards down for the Soviets that you can't mess with them. You can't come in and drive your tanks. You can't overthrow it. You can't cause a revolution. So how did they do it? That's what they were thinking. How are we going to do this? The Soviet army didn't need to come in and quell anything, because in a 3-year period, think of this, in a 3-year period, this blueprint was put into action, and the people chose the path to dictatorship. They chose exactly what we're choosing now. When I show you this blueprint of how they did it to Czechoslovakia, read it, heed it while you still are free, because it shows exactly how they did this and how they're doing it now. And I'm not suggesting that there somebody is reading this blueprint and they're like, yes, now here's what we do. I'm just telling you it's all happening. It's a mighty coincidence that it's happening without reading the blueprint, but it's logical if you want to take over a country and flip them overnight. And you'll notice how fast bad things are happening and things are changing, where you're like, wait a minute, what? When did that happen? Right now. The guy who wrote this blueprint and his co-conspirators manipulated the Czechoslovakian people into voting themselves into slavery from what he called, and see if this sounds familiar, pressure from above and pressure from below. And it turned the middle inside out.
Top down, bottom up, inside out. How many times have you said that?
Yes. Yes. So what I'm going to show you is how communists went in to Czechoslovakia and they were able to convince people to throw off the freely elected government of freedom and impose a dictatorship using just a certain few levers of government power in coordination with targeted mass agitation. When those things happen, top down, bottom up, inside out. I'm going to show you not only the plan, but I'm going to show you with the video and the news coverage of what's happening today, how this is all coming together. And you will be able to understand what's coming, and you will also have somewhat of a timetable. I'm also going to take you back at the very beginning to the last thing that I showed on the chalkboard when I was at Fox every day, every single day. When I was at Fox that last year, I did a repeat of this chalkboard, and it was about the caliphate and, you know, the coming revolution. And I knew I was getting hammered for it, but I did it every day because I knew it was right. I knew it was right. And it is just now being completed. And that chalkboard is about 9 years old, 8 years old. And it's now being completed. It started its completion, I think, this last spring. And it's going to play a very big role in the coming months and whatever time is left if we don't turn back to God and wake up to true principles. But that's going to play a role. So I want to show you that first, and then I'm going to lay this new blueprint on top of it. And you will see how much trouble we're in and what we need to be talking about. We're arguing about second principles. We need to be talking about first principles. We're arguing about things when we should be saying, you know, oh, he's a racist, she's a racist. We should be talking about freedom of speech. We should be talking about freedom of the press. We should be talking about freedom of religion. We're talking about all the wrong things, and we're losing our first principles because of it. You need to be the catalyst for change in your own life. You need to teach your children these things.
And because it implies to what's coming now. It's not just a history lesson.
the history of it is interesting, I think, here as we look at the special this week. But it's not just that, and it goes further than that. I mean, you are seeing. I don't know that there's someone behind the scenes saying, like, oh, look at this book. Look at the way they look at this blueprint. No. They did it just like this in Czechoslovakia. We can do it here. But it's all the same steps being applied.
And so you have to see it's
effective.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. You know, the Wright brothers, they weren't the first ones to fly. Well, I don't know if that's true or not. I don't know. I don't care. Did the Wright brothers steal it from somebody? No. They just got the same principles working in the same way. Or the people in, I don't know, Argentina or wherever they say, you know, is always arguing, no, we were first, wherever that is. Did they steal it from the Wright brothers? No. The same principles came into application. And that's the thing. When you apply certain steps, look, if I come with butter and eggs and milk and flour and I assemble them in the right way, I can have cake or I could have bread. It depends on how I'm assembling them. If I assemble them in the same way that these ingredients were assembled in Czechoslovakia, you're going to lead to a dictatorship. It's a formula. Now, whether that somebody came up with this formula themselves, you know, after and didn't know anything about this blueprint, yeah, could be. Could be. Doesn't need to be a conspiracy. The conspiracy is what's happening today. Somebody is coordinating, like on the border. We showed you a couple of weeks ago, and no one will pick this up. If we don't name the enemy, we will never defeat it. We have to name the enemy, and the enemy, radicals, Islamists, socialists, communists, anarchists, those are the ones that are working in coordination. Oh, that would never happen. Socialists and Islamists, they'd never work together. Ilhan Omar and AOC is a prime example of that. It's a prime example. It is happening. And if we don't talk about it, if we don't name it, if we don't see what's coming, you're going to be as surprised as the Czechoslovakian people were.
And this happens, no mistake here, that it's happening on May Day, May 1st, which is Wednesday. Also, no surprise and no mistake that the same day Netflix is releasing a big documentary about AOC and Omar and all this new wave of women coming in to Congress, and AOC being the top, draw, I guess, on this one, also being released on May Day, which they aren't announcing that as intentional, but
of course
it's
hard
to imagine that it is.
Of course it is.
And, you know, I don't know, like, if they're coming out with their little documentary, which is going to do nothing but, like, shine, hearts and unicorns and rainbows on AOC, maybe we should tell the truth about it, too. And that's what this is going to try to do here on Wednesday.
Don't miss it. It'll be on the Blaze Facebook page, the Blaze YouTube page, I think my YouTube page, and also theblazetv.com. We're going to have a special for you to sign up when you're watching it. But we urge you to sign up and join us at The Blaze. All of the money that we make is going back into the research. And so we really urge you to sign up and support us at blazetv.com/Glenn. Use the promo code Glenn and you're going to save $10 on your yearly membership. This special is free. We need you to watch it. We want you to watch it 8 p.m. Eastern on Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern, wherever you can watch us for free. Blaze TV, YouTube, and Facebook. CarShield is our sponsor. CarShield, man, is something that is just a no-brainer. CarShield is something that I really think that you need to have. If you have a used car, if you have a pre-owned vehicle, I've got a used truck.
It was pre-owned.
Yeah, it's used. If you have a pre-owned vehicle or a used car, or just, you know, this is the car you've had and now the warranty is expired, man, do not get stuck paying for those sensors. Don't get stuck paying for those really high-priced, expensive repairs for your car. I mean, it could cost you, one sensor can cost you, you know, anywhere from $300 to $3,000. How are you going to afford that? I mean, that's just, that's bone-crunching. If you are a member of CarShield, you'll have the protection that you need. And the covered repairs, man, will save your life. And they have 24/7 roadside assistance. They have a rental car while yours is being fixed. You don't have to wait for the check. The mechanic is paid directly. You can go right to the dealer and have it done. Just call 800-CAR-6000, 800-CAR-6000, and mention the promo code Beck. Visit carshield.com, promo code Beck, and save 10% now at carshield.com, promo code Beck. CarShield.com or 800-CAR-6000 and mention the promo code Beck.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
All right, I want to play some audio for you. Apparently, you know, people in the media are very upset that the Democrats still have any white people in the Democratic Party, or at least as leadership. Listen to this.
Those are the top three. Why do you think white male candidates are doing better than any of the women candidates?
It's something to see all three the top of the polls being led by three white men, though.
There's a little bit of a misperception that is happening right now that that the white guys are at some sort of disadvantage.
He's expected to enter the field as the front runner, ahead of the three other white guys who are currently polling in the top five.
Three white guys at the top, still.
Three white men lead the pack.
These women have, quote, become somewhat overshadowed by white male candidates.
If you are, you know, white man number one of the three white men at the top of the Democratic field right now.
It bothers me a little bit that those are three white males and that we need to be talking about more diversity.
The headline is Racism and Sexism. Women of Color Slam White Male Tilt of Dem Primary.
I have enjoyed white privilege. Absolutely. Undeniable.
Holy cow. Well, I think we should talk about redistributing their points. You know, I mean, if you've got, you know, favorability poll that puts you there, your disadvantage should be we take away some of those numbers.
Thank you.
And give them to some of the other candidates. I mean, yes, Bernie worked for those, you know, for this credibility. This is his time. He's going to be dead soon. As he is, you know, a billion years old, and he's worked his whole life for this moment, but really, he's lived a privileged life.
It's about time somebody says it.
Thank you.
It is about time somebody says it.
Right.
I love this because, essentially, what are they doing there? It's not criticizing the candidates. It's criticizing Democratic voters for not understanding they're not supposed to vote for white men anymore.
Yeah, somehow or another, these Democratic voters are not smart enough. They just don't get it. You're not supposed to want a white male.
And I love how even Rachel Maddow, who's there talking about who would be the first gay president in U.S. history, even she's demeaning.
Yeah.
she's demeaning people.
Well,
Buttigieg.
His sexuality is not intersection enough.
It's not. I have to work on my intersectionality points radar because I do not understand how this works anymore. Because, I mean, is skin color number one now or is gender number one? Are we mad? Because
number one is.
Because if Klobuchar and Warren, now Warren's an exception because she's Native American, but if they were both two and three or one and two in this, would they be saying too many white people? They wouldn't bring up the men thing. They would say it's too many white people at the top.
Yeah, they would say, where's the diversity?
Yeah, where's Cory Booker? Where's Kamala
Harris?
Why aren't
those guys? Well,
it's never going to be enough.
Kamala Harris, nobody really knows who she is. Everybody knows who Joe Biden is.
I'm telling you, a John Hickenlooper just needs to go transgendered right now. You'd win this primary. Do it.
Seriously.
Just get the operation.
Put a dress on, get the operation, a little highlight, and you know, your eyeliner, and you're set.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.